Hey y'all, so full disclaimer, we had some audio issues in the recording of this one. However, we got the chance to interview one of our favorites, Miriam Swanson, and we think the content is really solid, but there were some issues on the audio end. So bearing that in mind.
What's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And today we're joined by Miriam Swanson from the OC Register to talk about this Clippers season. We're also going to be giving a season grade to Ivica Zubac. And of course, it's Friday. We'll have a Love, Mary quarantine for you. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome to Locked On Clippers, coming at you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. We are welcoming a fantastic journalist and one of the great Clippers beat reporters, Miriam Swanson. How are you? Thank you for being on the show.
It's weird to not be covering basketball right now, but I'm getting used to it. But otherwise, I'm good. How are you guys? You're still working every day.
Yeah.
Yes, we very much are working every day. We are only about a week out from just deep diving on Clippers Instagrams to talk about things in the middle of the offseason.
We're going to have to do some fishing soon.
Which should be good fun. I can't wait for that, actually.
It was great when Patrick Patterson was on the team because he would post a new like $60,000 watch every Wednesday. And we would just talk about, would you buy that watch? No, I don't. I wouldn't buy that watch. I would do something else. But we're talking the Clippers 21-22 season, this first segment. Before we get into what went wrong, because there were a lot of things that went wrong that were out of their control, what did you see kind of from your perspective that was going right for the Clippers this year, despite not making the playoffs?
I think the biggest thing that went right, or the evidence that went right, is just their competitive nature. And just, you know, like you see so many teams roll over so easily, those guys like never quit and always wanted to win, and a lot of that is they just decide to, and a lot of it is the personnel of this team, sort of like their like the Clippers front office, you know, wants to build that quote-unquote culture, and you know, this is it, because they're, you know, they're competitive dudes, and they, no matter what, they're going to try to win, which, you know, feels like it should go without saying, but
special sports,
not always.
Yeah, we have seen some teams that maybe don't necessarily have that fight in them. Even some Clippers teams recently in some scenarios like that. I thought it was interesting, Lawrence Frank's availability. He talked about like kind of the 25 and under crowd getting a little bit better this year. I mean, obviously, I feel like they're all kind of basically 25 or Brandon Boston is what it feels like in terms of the ages on this team. But what did you think of Brandon Boston? He's someone that Clippers fans, I don't know if I'm on the wave that a lot of Clippers fans are, that he's like a must keep or anything like that. But a lot of Clippers fans are really excited from his 800 minutes of total basketball this year.
I think Brandon Boston is going to be a good NBA player. Whether he spends his, you know, how long he's with the Clippers, you never know. I mean, the Clippers are, I mean, they'll trade Shea, right? So
a cornerstone.
Right. I think, you know, he's got a long NBA career. You know, his goal is to become, you know, the best that, you know, like the best NBA player that there is, which, you know, which sounds bold and audacious, but you kind of know that, you know, like he is bold and audacious, and he is willing to go to the rack against anybody in the NBA at 19 and 20. But he's also like really open-minded, and, you know, it's like every chance he gets to pull a vet aside, he's not, you know, he wants to sit down, pick their brain, and, you know, he's just really comes off like genuine in that regard, that, you know, he's willing to listen to advice and to soak it all up, and he's just got such a positive demeanor. Like you want people who are positive to do well. I don't know, or at least I do.
That's a good way to look at it, for sure.
Yeah, like he's a cool kid, and you kind of, you know, you want people like that, bring good energy to, you know, get good stuff coming their way. Yeah, I quite enjoyed Brandon this year. I love the Boston windmill. I love that he was on his feet like as much as he was sitting on the bench. I love what he did when he was in the game, and just, you know, like I said, how sort of audacious and ridiculous he would be sometimes. And just, but he does really have a knack for scoring the basketball at the highest of levels. So it's going to be fun to watch him progress. Whether it's with the Clippers forever or not, you know, but we'll see. For now, he's here, and I'll enjoy watching.
I think the "for now" is a very key thing with that, for sure. So kind of going into the other side of the coin, we'll go to Will. What did you think went wrong, other than injuries? We know that those are obviously a big issue, but.
Were there injuries this season?
Does fatigue count as injuries or no?
No, I don't think so.
Then it has to be fatigue. Like, I just don't know, like, what more you could get than a winning season out of, like, what we had to roll out there.
Yeah.
And so much was unexpected. But yeah, like Miriam said, I mean, the thing was, like, when this team found, like, an identity this season that they were just going to be the team that competed, I mean, it was still exciting basketball to watch. And I think I'm obviously biased as a Clippers fan, but, like, I think they had some of the most exciting losses of the, like, of the season. Not the some most, them, but yes. Some of the most exciting, exciting losses of the season. And it, you know, like, I don't know, it would have been, it just would have been too easy to fold over on this season. So, like, while it's a bummer, it kind of, like, ended the way that it did. I don't know. I can't really, like, I don't have a whole lot of faults outside of the obvious. I mean, like, this wasn't a year. I was a little bit surprised that we made a move at all, but I think that move made sense. And, you know, once again, yet another injury. So, like, we didn't even get to see the full potential of that. So it's just fatigue to me for the players who were able to play. Like, they got pushed out of, like, the roles that they, I mean, were added to this team for, or have carved out for themselves on this team. And, you know, that ultimately, like, led them to not being successful at the end of the season.
Can I just say, like, this is why I love you guys' podcast. So you guys bring up exciting losses. Like, no, but it's such a cool, like, yes, I absolutely did. Like, the last two games of the season, oh my God, those were very exciting games.
Sure, yeah.
And losses. And that kind of did tell the story of the season, you know? Like,
yeah.
There were all those great comebacks. But then they were in it almost all the time. You know, they always give you something to write about.
I think this year we also coined the term haunting win, which was a win that you get when the other team shoots like 10% from three and you win by like six.
And you barely win.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do we think, and this is something that I might ever not get over, do we think having Semi and Rodney as kind of empty roster spots contributed to the fatigue too much? They were not.
What would you have done?
Had two players that could play more than, like, truly just blowout minutes. I don't know. I know that's something a lot to ask for the 14th and 15th guys, but it was just kind of frustrating sometimes.
But to your point, guys sometimes were like the 11th and 12th guys.
Yeah, or, that's a very good
so.
Call.
Yeah, so
that's a very good
they,
call.
I mean, obviously the reason for doing it, but they carried Jay Scrub all season, despite his injuries, as a two-way guy, and they carry Jay Preston all season. I mean, which they, of course they were going to, but, like, those were spots that, you know, could have been able bodies, but kind of lessen the load. and so, you know, that's part of it goes into the fatigue. But yeah.
Jay Scrub, weirdly, will sometimes watch games in the press box, which I thought was one of the more interesting decisions I've seen an NBA player make. I don't know why you would want to be up there.
Is it a good view? Is it a play to develop?
Or? I mean, yeah, you can, but he's a professional basketball
player.
Maybe?
I don't know.
Okay, now for...
You guys have good pop?
It's the same popcorn everyone gets, just a little colder because we're closer to the AC. So this is probably the hardest question we're going to ask on this entire episode. Miriam Swanson, pick your MVP of the Clippers 21-22 season, but it cannot be Reggie Jackson. Or Ty Lue.
Brandon Boston.
Clippers Twitter legend, Miriam Swanson.
Yeah. Well, that is an interesting question. So not Reggie. Reggie obviously carried much of a load. I'd say Terrence for the most minutes. Terrence
okay.
Did basically anything. Like, obviously, people wanted to make that jump. Terrence, like, what? You know, like, where's the 39-point game? Every guy out. But he guarded, you know, the team's best player a lot of the time, which either, you know, some of that onus off of, like, PG or off of others. He guarded, you know, he kind of, whatever the hell they wanted him to do, he was like, all right, I'll try it. You know, he, you know, and then as the season went on, he started to find his footing and get acclimated to, like, this bigger role and start producing and, or to the, you know, more and more to sort of what people expected. And he just played all the time in a season where so many guys were out for so many reasons. Like, Terrence was, like, a constant and a productive constant. And in just his third year. So I say T-Man.
That's a great call. He was second on the team in boards, I think, too. Like, he did a lot.
Yeah.
That's a great pick. Elite pick. All right, coming up, we're going to be talking the most polarizing Clipper player, Ivica Zubac's season grade. We know what half of Clippers Twitter would give him. We know what the other half would give him. But first, Will, if I had some free trials, how could I cancel those with some help? I just get so lost in all these trials.
Do you know why it's so hard to cancel those?
Why?
It's a business scam and it's out to get you.
It's a shame.
Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't want, need, or simply forgot about. It happens to me all the time. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel. Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. Wish I would have had Truebill earlier today. Had to cancel this wine subscription. Bad wines. I was not impressed. I had to message somebody to get on a phone call. It was terrible.
What a nightmare.
Anyways, Truebill's there for you, though. They also have the Truebill Concierge, who's there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA.
All right, now that Will has canceled his wine subscriptions, perhaps he could ingest some Built Bars. Maybe switch it up, get a little healthy. Built Bar has so many fantastic flavors. They got coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint, brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. They also have the Puffs, which are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Not just a protein bar. They finally did it. A protein treat that comes in churro, coconut, and banana cream pie. Mission accomplished. Marshmallow and protein fans. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Okay, so we're back and we're continuing our season grades.
Yes.
This one, Ivica Zubac. Chuck, all right. How do you feel about Zubac? Where do you want to kick us off?
I'll kick us off with some baseline stats. okay. He averaged 10 points, 8.5 boards, 1.6 assists, and a full block, in 24 minutes per game, 62% from the floor, which was down from last season by 3%. His points, boards, assists, and blocks all went up from last year. Free throw percentage dropped from 79% to 73%. He played in 76 games. We just talked about how important availability is. He's been one of the most available Clippers in his tenure. He had a 126 offensive rating and a 107 defensive rating. He was praised for his rim protection by Lawrence Frank as recently as, I believe, 420. What do we think of Zoo's... What? That was the date. What did we... Miriam, what did you think Zoo improved on this year? What did you think of his game overall? He gets a lot of blame sometimes. We'll talk about that in a bit. But what did you think of old Big Zoo?
Oh, Big Zoo. I think he improved. You know, he's got that little hook thing he got to do more often.
Yes.
I think they incorporated him at times when they needed, they really needed somewhere to score towards Zoo. And he,
which was kind of a new
capable
thing.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. you know, he had the 32-point game, Jokic, in that overtime. Again, another exciting loss over that overtime loss.
Yes, exhilarating.
It really was. You know, I think he showed that he can score, you know, at the NBA. Of course, like three games after that, he was scoring 2 points and then 7 points and 2 points again. So,
sure.
But in that part of that is just what the team asks of him on a particular night. And part of that is that he is willing to do whatever the team needs on any particular night. And that, I think, might be his biggest strength. Is that he's so willing. He's such a team-oriented dude, right?
I think that's one of the most underrated parts of Zoo.
And I think that might be his greatest strength. Might be the most underrated thing about him, right?
Yeah, true.
So I think that he has that going for him. Obviously, the Clippers were not a good rebounding team, and he's like a 7-footer who's at the basket.
Yes.
He looks like even Lawrence Frank said it, like he could be better at being not boxed out. Or he said it was, he was trying to be kind of like delicate about it, but I don't know, I think probably like Zoo shouldn't be delicate.
Everyone wants Zoo to play bigger.
Yeah. I remember last year, my favorite thing about watching warm-ups before the games was that they finished all of his warm-ups, pre-game warm-ups, or when you shoot right before the game, like 10 dunks or something, just like crazy, you know, like, and then they would scream and yell, and, you know, everybody, like, all the coaches were out there screaming and yelling at him, and just, like, I could see what they were doing. They were like, hey, are you, like, get this in your head, and they've done that this year. I think it was, like, a Roy Rogers thing, who, you know, is in Portland now. And you kind of want that back, you know, like play big, play angry. He plays like he is sometimes, where he's like a genuinely like sweet guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you want to, you know, it's like Pau Gasol. I remember like Kobe and Pau Gasol, you know, like the little black swan thing, like go and find your black swan. Sometimes you want that out of Zoo, but his skills are there. His work ethic is there. He shows up and he wants to help the team however the team needs him, and I think those are all commendable, so there's a lot of room to grow.
It feels like he kind of improves marginally, and I think people want to see this jump from Zoo where he's averaging, like, when this team is fully healthy in terms of the starting five, he is the very last priority who's going to be getting shots up. So the idea that he's going to be like a double-double guy hinges on his shot attempts and the boards. Like, it felt like he would seal guys off a lot and we wouldn't be getting crashing, especially kind of from Morris and things like that. When Kawhi and PG are there, I think Kawhi and PG getting rebounds, I think, weirdly helps show how much Zoo does down low work-wise in terms of just shoving everyone else out of the way when possible. But I don't know. Will, what did you think he could have maybe improved on this year? We saw the passing out of the short roll looked great this year. The decision-making was good. He was still setting good screens. But other than kind of the play like you're actually 7 feet tall and weigh a bunch, what do you think he could have improved on?
Well, I mean, like, the thing I like about Zoo is, like, he is, like, I don't know, the prototype for incremental improvement, right? Like, he does keep getting, like, steadily better every year, like, in, like, these kind of small little jumps.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he improved in almost everything last year, except for, like, his field goal percentage is down marginally, but his attempts are up. Free throw percentage down marginally, but the attempts are up. Okay. So, like, it's small improvements, you know? Like, it's not like he's not getting any better or he's actively getting worse. I can understand why people are frustrated because, you know, like, through his tenure on the team, I think that we've seen things that could indicate that there is another level there that, like, you know, totally we're not getting on any sort of a consistent basis. But, like, consistency wasn't exactly the name of the Clippers this year overall. like, there's just not a lot of consistent players on, you know, like, there weren't a lot of consistent players on the roster. And, I mean, like, you know, even PG kind of, you know, was up and down. So I don't know. It's difficult because the thing I go back and forth with is, like, is Zoo the starting center on a championship team? And that is a question where I'm like, I mean, it depends on who's around him, really. Like, right? Like, if you have an extra 15 boards a game from Kawhi and Paul George,
Maybe, like, maybe yeah. he is.
And the defense.
Is he a is he a closing center in a championship, like, in a championship, like, series? Like, I don't think so. But, I mean, he keeps getting a little bit better every year. I don't know. Like, I don't know what else to, you know, like, he's not going to wake up next season and be a completely different player, you know? So it's kind of, it was even kind of foolish of me to expect him to be able to get to, like, a double-double. Number coming into this season.
He had like 23 double-doubles this year or something like that. He had more double-doubles this year, I think. Yeah, which was great. Like, but that in and of itself is an incremental improvement, right?
Yeah, well, his total rebounds, I mean, even with Kawhi and Paul George out, improved by like 20%. I would just expect it because the number of available boards, it would be a little higher. But hey, marginal improvements.
That's fair.
Sometimes slow and steady does, in fact, win the race.
there you go.
Miriam.
The moral of the story.
Yes. Your final grade for Ivica Zubac for the 21-22 season.
Gosh, great. See, I'm glad I'm not a teacher. C+?
Oh, C+.
That's very adequate. I think that is very adequate.
A marginal improvement on being average. He's a C+. He's a 79%. That's a pretty fair grade. So we got a couple minutes before we got to get in the next segment, but Zoo has a team option at $7.5 million. We got to that. I think it would be foolish for the Clippers to not pick that up. The value you gave.
It's a good deal. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great deal. Has me wondering why
maybe he should get a B-. I don't know.
Yeah, for value, he's a good time to have in class. So you give him a bump. I've been on the receiving end of this before. So why do we think he is one of the most hated Clippers on this current team? It's kind of Zoo and then nobody else. Like, no one's like actively disliked as much as Ivica Zubac on this team by some of the fan base, and I just. Is it because his body language is goofy? Because he's a goofy guy? Like, I don't know. Is it the rebounding? What do we think?
I think, man, that's such a good question. I think. it's kind of going back to the... Well, okay, first of all, it's crazy. I mean, he's the longest tenured Clipper. He's been here for, like, been a good time for the fans. Right? Like, he's been the mainstay.
That's true.
For, you know, 3+ seasons, and this is the guy that we're the most torn about. So maybe it is, I don't know, maybe familiarity breeds disdain or something. But
sure.
I think part of it is, like, his body language, where, like, you know, he's
kind of an awkward looking
poor
guy.
Body language. But he's not. You know, he's not Kawhi Terminator out there or Reggie dancing. He's Zoo, right?
Yeah.
But that's like who he is. So like you like Zoo, you would like that. I think anytime you see a guy on your team appear to get pushed around in any capacity, it probably makes you go like, "Dude, come on," or something. I don't know. So I imagine it has to do sort of
more technical fouls next year is what you're saying for Zoo.
Yeah, basically, like
be more like Pat Bev.
Where's Pat Bev? Yeah. But then it, of course, is not Zoo. But
yes,
but it could be. I don't know, like the black swan thing. So maybe, that's my stab at it. I don't know. What do you guys think?
He needs longer hair. It's the only thing he has to do.
We've been saying this for years. He grows that hair out. It's a whole different story.
shoulder length locks for Zoo. That's a different player.
He's getting more foul calls. Like, yeah, he's making a difference.
Facial hair too.
Sure.
Valentina's Zoo, beard, like.
Yeah.
I think you should go clean shaven. I think you should go clean shaven, long hair, maybe feathered top.
I think Zoo.
All right, Zoo. All
right, long hair.
Yeah.
All right. He's probably listening. He's probably going to take some notes finally after us clamoring for this since he's been on the team. Coming up, we are recording this on Ralph Lawler's birthday, so we're going to talk about some of our favorite Ralph moments. And then, of course, a Love Mary quarantine. But first, betting on sports is now very legal in the United States, and it's made some things kind of interesting in terms of fan relation with athletes. But if you'd like to be a part of that, you can put money down at betonline.net as your number one source for all betting stats and sports info. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball. Miriam, are you an Angels fan or something weird? Or are you a Dodgers fan?
I'm like a fan of nobody, but I grew up as an Angel fan. That's how I got into sports, because I was an Angel fan.
You can bet on how many times the Angels are going to lose over at BetOnline. It is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, so we're back, and we're talking Ralph Lawler, recording this on his birthday.
Yeah.
Wow, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Hope he's having a good time. Miriam, is there any particular Ralph moment that sticks out in your mind, be it not in a game or a call or anything like that, because he was everywhere with the Clippers for a very long time?
Sort of cheesy, but just like how nice he was when I first got on the beat, you know, like obviously he's Ralph Lawler and a big deal in Clipperdom, and my first year was probably his last year, and he just was just the kindest guy and willing to help any way possible and funny, and you know, he's very knowledgeable about it. But just like, yeah, and just how helpful he's been since then. Like, anytime I need help on a whatever random story I'm working on that he might be able to help me with, he answers the call. So,
oh, that's awesome.
A nice dude, Ralph Lawler.
Yeah,
and a Hall of Famer. So, yeah, I think also getting to talk to him on the phone after he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, kind of, you know, sort of touch someone who just got into the Hall of Fame was pretty cool. I don't know, just nice dude.
Yes, a very nice dude. Hanging out with him and Bill Walton was always insane. I think during his last game, that was really fun. Just their dynamic is very interesting to think about, those two dudes like getting lunch somewhere.
Wild.
Yes. Yeah. There is kind of something interesting happening with Ralph Lawler and kind of the legacy with the Clippers. So they don't do bingo anymore. They don't say Lawler's Law. Why do we think, and this, Will, this goes for you too, do we think this is just the kind of maybe the new ownership trying to break away from maybe perhaps things that were more remnant of the Sterling era? But I mean, Ralph Lawler was the announcer for 40 years. You don't have that a lot for a franchise. And they're kind of eliminating some of the things that he said that were large catchphrases in Clippers culture. I don't know. Seems odd to me.
I don't know if there was like an internal, conversation about it, but I think initially, I'm not sure if Ralph talked to them, but I would guess that it was like to sort of ease the transition to have Brian Seaman there, you know, like that's not having him like be compared to like in the same light, or yeah, exactly. Like it, like sort of, you know, expecting him to like do the same sort of calls and kind of same sort of things. Cause I feel like that's like a really weird position to put somebody in, like when, you know, hopefully
a 40 year vet you have to take.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And like, hopefully, you know, Brian Seaman is here for a long time and like gets to, you know, gets to do some of his own kind of stuff. I do think though, now, you know, like Seaman is kind of established enough and they have sort of like his sort of setup that, maybe in arena, they could reintroduce kind of some of those like experiences and like just stuff on the Jumbotron. Yeah. Just for the fans. I think like initially it was probably just like to set Brian up to like, you know, be able to kind of carve out his own lane, I guess.
That's a good call.
That's a good theory. And I think it says something about Brian Seaman about how well he's done.
Phenomenal job.
Yeah. Right. Like considering the shoes he had to fill, you know, like you got to be elite to like step in after Ralph Lawler and not come off like a dork, you know. and he's so great. So Nation has had really, like, compared to like, you know, you watch NBA League Pass and whatnot, broadcasts, and like y'all are lucky for sure.
Yes, but, absolutely.
It's, you know what, that's interesting question you're asking. I don't know the answer, but it's obviously noticeable to you guys and to me and to a lot of people. And you know, darn it, I'm gonna try to do a story on it next season.
Sweet.
It's cool. Very curious.
Yeah, it's a little odd. Mm-hmm. All right, now we're getting into...
You'd want to pay tribute. To,
40
to
years.
So much, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, do they do the golden mic still?
The golden mic's still there.
I think okay. Yeah, Erickson's right. Still using the golden mic.
Yeah. Right, and okay. He still has his door at Crypto, which maybe could have given him an atrium or something, more than a door. So, the Ralph Lawler atrium. So now, real quick,
or whatever.
Yeah, Miriam, we wanted to just get a temperature check so we can see what the hype is on these. How many of the Terrence Mann endorsed Chibi Dino NFTs have you purchased? There's 10,000 available.
500.
Okay, 500. So you're cornering the market on the Chibi Dinos. Okay, that's good. We hope your Terrence coin or whatever currency gets good value. Okay, we do this every Friday. We're ending this week on a very fun note. We're playing Love, Marry, Quarantine. We pick something to love, something to marry, something to just keep away from us. This one is based on R.L. Stine recently picked up the new Kawhi Goosebumps Edition sneaker, which we did a podcast about this week. Didn't know if R.L. Stine was alive, but it turns out he very much is. What other... Someone DM'd me. They were like, I had to look that up after you said that. I was like, we corrected ourselves mid-episode. But
yeah, so, he's going strong.
Oh, he's got the Kawhi Goosebumps edition. So what other current and former Clippers could combine books in a signature shoe? We have three options here. We have Reggie Jackson, the Reggie Christos. Reggie's first signature shoe would feature nautical imagery and before and after pictures of Edmond Dante on the tongue. Each pair is in two different colors, much like the main character is two different people. Yeah, we're going deep here on Locked on Clips. And then we have Robert's Web, or Robbie's Web, a ball hawk around the net. Robert Covington links up with E.B. White for a collab, a la Charlotte's Web. Pig pink soles, upper made of that spider web material that people said was the strongest thing in the world when we were kids. It was supposedly going to stop.
Do you remember this? Everyone was talking about spider web material. I feel like that never really came to fruition.
But Robert Covington, thanks to this collaboration with E.B. White, will bring it out. And then finally, we have what could go down as a Love, Marry, Quarantine classic from Will Updike. This is a former Clipper, the Malt Whitmans. Patrick Beverley, noted poetry and cold beer lover, does a collaboration with Bud Light and Walt Whitman's estate. The shoe is adorned with some of Pat's favorite verses from Whitman's Song of Myself, and it comes in an oversized brew can. This is the greatest thing ever. Miriam, which of these are you loving, marrying, and quarantining? You can also mix and match. It's up. It's dealer's choice.
Oh, my gosh. I think, so all three of these are now deceased, no?
Yes, yeah, all three. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Oh man, those are great. I'm so glad I'm on for this one. I'm gonna quarantine the Webbies just because, like you mentioned, I don't trust this whole spider web material.
It's a structural issue.
A and B, that book is just damn sad. I was gonna keep crying. So that.
All right.
And then I love the malt with that because. It's just, those are dope. I would want to see them. I want to see Sketch, Will. I'm going to marry the Reggie Christos.
Yes.
Because I am halfway through, like him, I am halfway through Monte Cristo. And that description is everything. And the mismatched two characters, everything Reggie, and just that moment this season, was learning about his reading. What he was reading was so fantastic. So that's where I'm going with it. Those are great.
Nice. None of them getting love, just married or away from you. That's
I love the beer.
Oh, got it. Beer. Right. So no one's quarantined. That's good. Except for Roberts.
Roberts is quarantined.
Will, what are you going with here?
I gotta marry the Malt Whitmans. Patrick Beverly.
That with seems like a real shoe that could come out.
Patrick Beverly with a Bud Light. Name a stronger duo in a post game press conference. You can't do it. It's impossible. I like the idea that he would be all about the poem song of myself, because it's kind of about like an everyman who like transcends. And let's see, Miriam brought up the sadness of Charlotte's Web, and I think I gotta lean, for that reason, I think I also have to lean quarantine. I gotta quarantine.
It's okay to be Robbie's sad, Web. Guys. Sometimes it's okay to read something sad.
I just think, yeah, maybe it is too depressing to have a major release of a shoe for. But I am loving Reggie Jackson's Reggie Christos.
Yeah, I think I gotta love the Reggie Christos. I also gotta love the Robert's Web, because I think Robert Covington would have some kind of shoe where it was like, is this gonna work? And he'd be like, I made the shoe to be what I wanted it to be, and I wanna see if this would work.
It's spider silk.
It's spider silk. And I'd be like, all right. They cost $800 a pair. Also, these are bespoke basketball shoes. And then, I mean, I have to marry the Malt Whitmans. This is up there with Landry Shamit's Laundry Jammit and Wine in a Box with the Vita Zubats in terms of Love Mary quarantine options we've had. I think the Malt Whitmans take this one. Miriam, thank you so much for being on the show. This was such
a great
episode.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yes, you can read all of Miriam's fantastic work and others over at the OC Register. I'm a faithful subscriber. I get a bunch of their emails all the time. Always reading that stuff.
Thank you.
Support local beat writers. They need it. This team doesn't give them scoops, yes. Which is lame.
No comment.
No comment from Miriam. That is me speaking as a private citizen. Monday's episode, we're going to have...
Bless your heart.
Yeah. Monday's episode, we're going to have Marcus Morris's season grade. We're going to be talking to freshies, some of the new guys. And whatever else happens to you now and then in Clipperland, honestly, hopefully not a whole lot. The season just got over. Marcus Morris is already liking tweets about being traded. We all need a rest. Will, if someone wanted to review this podcast, where could they do that? I don't know where.
So you can review this show over on Apple Podcasts or the podcast app on your mobile device. You can also review us on Spotify now. You can listen to us on either one of those platforms. We're also on Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Deezer, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can listen to the show. I think we mentioned up top, I can never remember, but we do come out with a show Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. Thanks for sticking with us. And support your local beat writers, as Chuck said.
Yes, please do. As most of the time, I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike.